Welcome into the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. You know, folks, on Wednesdays, we have a segment here on the show. It's called Supernatural News. And a lot of you like to wind me up by sending me articles about artificial intelligence. And you like to get me going. And you like to get me going because you think I'm paranoid about artificial intelligence. Well, I am. I am, because we do some wickedly evil things with artificial intelligence on this planet from time to time. And you know what? There are some things that we can do with AI that are just downright scary. But I'm going to introduce you to someone today who has worked with a researcher and scientist by the name of Nigel Kerner, who has done some wonderful work in the field. Unfortunately, he's passed away. He's got a book out there that I want to introduce you to today that is going to blow your mind, to be honest with you, and gone a few steps further than I've ever gone on Supernatural News, that will tell you a little bit about the connection between gray aliens and artificial intelligence. That's right, the connection between those two. And I'll tell you a little bit about it here in just a second. You know, humanity's biggest existential threat is our headlong rush to a technologically advanced future. We're rushing headlong into it already. We increasingly rely on smart devices to the point that they are becoming extensions of our bodies. Now, think of it this way. We are at a turning point for our species in which our natural humanity is gradually being converted into an artificial format that will lead to the loss of our souls. And as Nigel Kerner reveals in astonishing detail in this book that I have in front of me, the blueprints for this future already exist. That's what we're going to talk about today. The book I have in front of me is called Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence: The Battle Between Natural and Synthetic Beings for the Human Soul. And with me, I have one of his colleagues and fellow researcher, Danielle Silverman. Let's welcome her in now to Darkness Radio. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you, Tim, and thanks for having me on the show. Happy to be here.
And thank you. We should explain why you're with us here. Tragically, Nigel passed away before the book could be published, and he just passed away recently in 2022, correct?
That's correct, yeah, in February this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And impressively, Linda Moulton Howe has written a bit of actually did a bit of a review of the book and read the book and has backed the book. The book, by the way, is chock full of facts and of chock full of different things that string this theory together. And we're going to walk a little slow through it because it is a big book. It's over 400 pages of this theory. And I want to try to walk slowly through it and explain to people how exactly Nigel ties this together. And essentially, Danielle, let's start with just the basics here. Now, when we talk about aliens and alien abduction, the most common alien scenario is that people see gray aliens, or it's the grays that come down and do the alien experiences, correct?
Yes, that's right. Definitely. By far and away, the most common experience is with gray aliens. Yeah.
Now, we assume that these grays are fleshy beings, that we're having a physical experience with these fleshy gray aliens. This was not the, how should I put it? This is not the conclusion that Nigel's come up with, or not what he's come to. Now, we're going to have to slowly get into this as to how sure Nigel came to this conclusion. Because, and as I started getting into this book, my mind started to kind of be blown away by this. And I've heard, this isn't the first time I've heard this theory, but the way he started to kind of undo the threads of this whole thing really started to make sense to me as to why, if we're going to encounter an alien on this side of the universe, it wouldn't necessarily be a flesh and blood alien, that it would probably be, as he calls it, a robot or roboid, a synthetic being that wouldn't be flesh and blood, that maybe if something were going to be sent to this side of the universe, that it may be transmorphed into something more than just flesh and blood. Why would you? And I'm gonna put this question to you here, Danielle. If you had evolved as a species and gotten to the point where you could, you know, transverse across the universe, why would you put yourself in harm's way and send yourself across the universe, whether it be to collect data or, you know, put yourself in harm's way with another race? Does it make sense when you read Nigel's, and you've done more than just read Nigel's work, you've been, you know, integral in his work. Mm-hmm. Are you of a mind of that theory too? Of basically sending a sentry of AI to do your work rather than sending yourself?
Yeah, sure. So, yes, I mean, you've introduced that very well. And I was intrigued to hear you talk at the start of the show about AI and how you may be accused of paranoia for fears about what AI is. Nigel would have said, and I would agree with him, you can't be paranoid enough. I mean, who... So if you look at our own development right now in terms of technology, we're pretty much at that point now. We're just starting to have the most basic forms of AI, and already it's going in directions that the people who created it can't understand, right? That it's mm-hmm. it's and so if you create something with a capacity to process information at that level, it will obviously become superior in terms of analytical ability only, okay? Because after all, it's only a machine. It's not superior in any other way. But in terms of analytical ability and power to process information and produce outcomes that secure its own existence as an artificially intelligent entity, that's what would logically happen. So Nigel's theory, he's looked at our own progress towards developing this kind of technology. And mainstream science now says there's absolutely no way that we're the only only planet with life in the universe, intelligent life. Mm-hmm. There has to be millions out there. That's just accepted now. Okay. So it would make sense there's likely to be civilizations out there that are more advanced than us. Okay. There's bound to be. There's so many, sure. Bound to be some that are more technologically advanced than us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So people like Stephen Hawking, Michio Kaku, people who are scientists who have thought about all of this, they also agree that there has to be more advanced civilizations out there than us. And if there are, whatever they create is not going to be friendly and coming in some benevolent way to do to help inferior beings as like we are. It's going to be predatory. It's going to be looking to further its own existence. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you spoke about the fact that they would be unlikely to send living fleshy beings like us themselves to come themselves to travel. Well, Nigel's point is that it would actually be impossible for living being to travel those incredible distances in space and cover the amount of light years to get any within a lifetime. Even if that lifetime was longer than ours, they would die beforehand, and the speeds they'd have to travel at, if they were to try and do it any quicker, faster than the speed of light, the way he put it is they would be splattered against the windshield of the spacecraft with a g-force. It's just impossible. Okay. Right. Life cannot survive that kind of travel. So it makes sense that just like we send probes out into space, they would send out some kind of artificial entity into the universe. Perhaps they've destroyed their own planet like we are about to do. Perhaps maybe it's no longer hospitable for life, and they're looking for some way that they can continue. Now, the interesting thing is that in our own setup on Earth, there are people, and I can't get my head around why they think this, but they think that if they program all their thoughts, all their feelings, all their memories into a hard disk, okay? Mm-hmm. Collect, if that now there's technology that can measure, that can record your thoughts as a wave pattern, okay? And there's people trying to, who have actually started experiments to record all they are so that they can, and they see that this will be some kind of eternal life. They'll go on some kind of hard drive and they'll live forever. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're creating, they're looking at the possibility now, and I think it's actually happened, of if your partner dies, they'll put records of them speaking, everything they've done into some kind of hard drive, and a robot that looks like them will continue. It's mind blowing. Okay. Now, what these people who want to do this don't realize is that if they have all the information that was them on a hard drive, they will not be there to appreciate it. Their awareness will not be there. It'll be just like a computer. It'll be dead. There'll be no awareness. Okay.
Right.
But nevertheless, this similar motivation could have driven these creator beings to put everything they were as data, okay, mm-hmm. into this artificially intelligent format, to go out into space to find a suitable environment somewhere where that they could reconstitute their existence as living beings. Okay, if they through their own creation of whatever technology they created made their place inhospitable. Okay.
Okay,
so that may well be the roboidal gray entities that are seen in so many abduction scenarios. And the interesting thing is that abductees report they're emotionless. They have no, they do painful procedures on their human abductees.
Correct.
And they just don't seem to, and they're screaming and they're in pain, but there's just no emotion whatsoever. They don't seem to understand emotion. It suggests some kind of roboidal being. So in Nigel's first book in 1997, The Song of the Greys, I believe he was the first researcher to suggest, actually, these aren't natural living things. These are robotic bioids, he called them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so semi-biological, semi-machine. So the question Nigel asked is, well, look, there's so many of these abduction occurrences happening. Why on earth would they be interested in us?
Yeah.
What could we possibly have that could be useful to them? Because it's this artificial intelligence is hugely superior to anything that we can analytically produce as a natural living species. So what do they want from us? And you get people like Zechariah Sitchin who say they want gold from our planet. This is another thing I can't get my head around, because with the technology they have, they could get anything in the universe. It's not going to be a problem for them.
Well, and
they wouldn't need to deal with pesky creatures like us who would get in the way of whatever they're doing.
Right. So, and you would think there are other elements out there that are that could be switched out for gold, that could probably be used just as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That particular theory, but even that theory aside, which is one of the more out there theories, it's difficult to imagine what they want from us. Because we're irrational, they're completely logical, so we get in the way of mm-hmm. whatever they want to do with our emotional natures.
Yep.
What could they possibly want? And this is when he came to the conclusion that it might be that there is actually something very, very special about natural, living, intelligent life that no machine, no artificial intelligence can ever have. And his proposition is that is what they're after, this ingredient that is just nothing to do with anything artificial, physical, and cannot be produced in a physical universe. And that's what, for want of a better word, and I know this word has been very much misused throughout all kinds of religious scenarios, you could call it a soul, okay?
Okay.
It might be better to use Nigel's description, which is a line of connection back to a state of perfection. of timelessness, infinity, that is the underbase of the infinite underbase of all existence. And as living natural beings, we have that line of connection. And as artificial creations, they don't have it.
And that in itself, I believe he calls it, well, he calls the realm itself the Godverse, and in God, a Godhead, right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And it's okay. We can refer to it as a soul. I think universally throughout, no matter what you believe, it's a soul, right?
So sure. Absolutely. No problem with that. It's just so sure. many connotations. And see, the thing about Nigel is he was very scientific in his outlook.
Yes.
And yeah. and he didn't have any religious dogma, religious beliefs of any kind based on any particular religion. Mm-hmm. But the common thread that he felt ran through just a sense of not religions, but of spirituality, let's say generally anything that looks beyond the physical, beyond the atom, is that our origins come from a state of perfection, basically. Anything that's beyond, in a physical universe, there's limit, there's separation, there's beginnings and ends, there's times, there's a second law of thermodynamics, entropy, breaking everything up. So you leave a car outside, it rusts if you don't take care of it. Right. We decay as we get older. That second law of thermodynamics, rotting everything, is the momentum of this physical universe. It's an imperfect universe. The Godverse, which he suggests is the origin of natural living being, is completely perfect, completely untouchable, unassailable, infinite, full of meaning, and that's where our awareness comes from. Our the fact that we can know, the fact that we can be aware of the physical universe that we're in, comes from something that's not physical. Our thoughts don't come from a physical origin.
Right. You know, you've brought up some interesting things here in this first 15 to 17 minutes that we've been together, in why this, if grays truly are artificial intelligence, or if they are a roboid or robot, why they would want to be, for lack of a better term, wanting to farm our souls. That's the best way to put it. And why they continue this cycle over and over and over again of wanting fresh bodies, fresh souls, and wanting to continue to do this. But Nigel brings this up in the book, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Danielle. There's an interesting thing that Nigel brings up in the book, and it has to do with what do they do once they get a hold of one? You know what? It's kind of an interesting perspective, and let me throw it to you. And what happens when it's kind of like, and we'll go in reverse scenarios here. Okay, so let us start first of all with humans humans integration with artificial intelligence and the way we're going here first. And then we'll take our break. And when we come back, we'll talk about what it is exactly that grays would want with human souls. And mm-hmm. we'll do that when we get back from the break. But first, let's talk about humans' integrations with artificial intelligence. It's kind of a slippery slope we're going down, because there are some good uses for AI, and there are some good uses for what it is we're using technology for. And I can give you a great example. And there are great examples in the book that Nigel brings up as well. One of the best examples I can think of is I myself am a brittle type 2 diabetic. I have quite a few friends that are type 2 diabetics. I have a few that have prosthetics, and I for one am one of those that prays that they can find the perfect prosthetic that would integrate with their bodies, that would be able to use it like a natural limb, because you have no idea how hard it is, how terrible it is to find a prosthetic that will work. Just work. You know, there's complications. There's the ill-fitting prosthetic. People just don't know. You know, it's so cruel and unusual for someone to say to you, and I struggle with a condition, Danielle, called Charcot foot. Mm. And I've been struggling to keep my leg for almost 8 years now. Wow. And people say to me all the time, well, Tim, just cut it off. If you're having so much trouble, just cut it off, which is the worst thing that somebody could tell me.
Of course. Yeah.
You don't want to cut it off. First of all, because as a type 2 diabetic or as a diabetic or a brittle diabetic, the minute I lose my leg, my surgeon told me I have a 5-year life expectancy.
No way. Oh, that's
5
terrible.
Years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, that's the biggest insult you could tell me. Cut it off. Mm. Okay? Mm. Second is to find a properly fitting prosthetic is tough. It is just tough. But then third, the promise that there could be technology out there, even within the next decade, 2 decades, that could integrate with your brain, that could make a prosthetic feel like it could be your own leg again, is promising. That's telling somebody who's an amputee that, you know what, this is pretty good stuff. This could be pretty good. So there's the promising part of technology. Now, there's also a slippery downslope there as well. You're telling a potential amputee, well, we're going to have to interface with your brain. And there's some things that could go terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. There's potential damage you could do by hooking that up to your brain. There's potential nerve damage you could do by interfacing with the nervous system. That's just for starters. There are other things talking about, and I'll let you continue here, Danielle, because I'm kind of taking over the conversation here, but tell me a little bit about some of the dangers we have interfacing with artificial intelligence as we start to go down that road. And we've heard people like Elon Musk say, and even Stephen Hawking say, maybe it's a good thing if we start to interface with artificial intelligence. What are some of the dangers of us just jumping into this and saying, why can't we just interface with artificial intelligence? Shouldn't this be a good thing, Danielle?
Yeah, sure. And I totally take your point about how advances in medical technology can be such a boon to people, and it does throw up a problem, because if you accept that kind of technology, what then might it lead to? But the point is, Nigel didn't say it would be that technology is a terrible thing, right? Everything
right.
Comes out of technology is awful, evil, whatever, and will compromise your soul. Not at all. In the end, the human soul, the human spirit is the decider. It doesn't matter what goes on outside of it. If the soul, if that individual soul, their own sense of freedom to make choices, willingness to learn, flexibility, and doesn't get caught inside the mechanism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what you see with the current way, especially since the pandemic, where everything's gone online even more, I mean, it's gone 100 times more quickly than it would have done otherwise. So virtual meetings all the time rather than real meetings, physical meetings. Mm-hmm. And technology is basically all the various things that we used to do, have to do with our minds manually, look through a book to find some information, that it took time, that took calculate things, all those little things that we would use our brain for and practice our thinking doing, okay, we're no longer doing.
Yes.
So it would eventually get to the point where technology has become our prosthetic mentally, so that we lose our capacity to think, to analyze, to understand the world, because we just can't do it anymore. Technology is doing it for us, and we become pretty much vegetables with technology running our lives for us. That's not to say that technology, any kind of convenience or ease that technology provides, is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's just something to bear in mind as the years go on, and as more and more and more we outsource ourselves into a technological state and mortgage our own capabilities into that technology. I mean, social media, for example, people outsourcing and all their life, writing, putting all their information about everything they do onto social media and living on the likes and dislikes they get from other people. Mm-hmm. And that becoming, and for so many people, that's just an obsession. Everything's about how many likes you have.
Yeah.
So it all becomes superficial. It all becomes on the surface, and the deep, meaningful beauty that is the human spirit just gradually, almost imperceptibly slips away.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. You know, there is something interesting, too, as far as this past week watching. You're laughing me when I say I was watching Dr. Phil. I had it on in the background while I was editing one of the shows. And the topic was where exactly the state of education was in the United States and how far it had fallen against the rest of the world. And we've fallen so far as where we rank in the world with education, and how desperately we've fallen. I think we don't get out of the teens as far as reading, writing, and comprehension, which is sad.
Really? Yeah, sure.
It never used to be that way, but it's getting worse. And throughout the entire program, they're giving there's a professor who is giving a basic comprehension test, and I think it's 20 or 25 questions, and they're asking questions off the comprehension test to not only students on a pre-tape, they keep rolling in and out of this pre-tape, but they give it to the audience. And something like only 15% mm-hmm. of the audience passed wow. the comprehension test, which is scary. That's just scary. And that just goes to show you that not only have we eased up our standards, but we've eased them up and we've allowed technology to let... We've let technology allow us to do the answers for us rather than let us learn those answers for ourselves and access those answers for ourselves. You know,
exactly.
It's easier to go Google something than it is for us to go, well, you know what, maybe I should go look that up for myself and learn it and store it in my own computer that's between my ears.
You know, yeah.
A lot easier to do. One of the things that Nigel has in the book, it's this kind of be-all, end-all scenario, which is absolutely frightening. And that's this, Danielle. It's the scenario where we go from just an appendage, a medical reason to be able to replace a body part, to saying, and this is kind of what we were alluding to earlier, saying, you know what, I want to live forever. I don't want to leave this plane, this earthly plane. Maybe I can do it through AI. Maybe I can do it through robotics. Maybe I can replace my body with a robotic body. Maybe I can just become a cyborg where I can stay here. Tell me, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with putting a human soul in a machine?
Okay, so first of all, and it goes back to the problem that you spoke about earlier, you said to me, what would they do if they got a soul, right? Mm-hmm. The whole point is they can't. There is absolutely no way something that's physical, like the Greys, a totally physical, artificial creation, can ever have any contact with what a soul is, because a soul has a connection back to something beyond the universe. It's something that's connected beyond this universe. It just can't do it. It doesn't have that connection. It can never get it, but it will continually try to get it. That's the whole paradox. and the whole issue that we have here, it can detect that there's something different to it, something that isn't affected by the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, that I spoke about, that makes its artificial intelligent data field become less and less coherent in time. Everything breaks up that's physical, right?
Yeah.
We have something that somehow makes order, makes life, is able somehow to counter this entropic drift into decay. And they would notice this as something that's strange that's happening, some kind of field effect that's happening to change the physical signals they're getting. That's all the only way they could see it. They wouldn't know it for what it really is. They may notice that whatever makes the biophysical print of an individual while they're alive seems to come back. It seems to go when they die, but come back again. Nigel believed in reincarnation. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So that whatever makes our identity as a soul making a new body has a certain fingerprint based on who we are. That was how Nigel explained it.
Okay.
That fingerprint of whoever we are seems to go out, go away, come back again, go away, come back again, i.e. live forever. So Nigel's idea is that these artificially intelligent entities, and really it's better, although they look like entities and we kind of anthropomorphize them, it's really better to understand it as an information, artificially intelligent information field, looking to grow, looking to artificial intelligence. It will always be programmed to gather information as much as possible. That's in the nature of it. Okay. So it would be trying to gather more information, and it would find this one thing that it couldn't understand because it was not physical. And it would always try to understand it, to grab onto it somehow, and the way Nigel put it, piggyback on us. So it can't actually keep us and take anything from us. All it can do is ride on us, put its data, artificially intelligent data, into us. And that's what he describes in his books as genetic interception.
Okay.
Into our DNA, where their information can coexist with us, so that when we reincarnate, we carry their data with us. That's the only way they can do it.
That just sounds disturbing.
It is disturbing.
I mean, because you think to yourself, well, okay, I have this other entity's information in me, but it doesn't feel like it belongs to me. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so what they're really doing is so Nigel's theory, and this may take a little time to explain.
Sure, go ahead.
It explains how could they put their data into us? Okay, how is it possible that they could put their artificially intelligent program into us, into our natural living being as eternal souls that have a connection back to something beyond this universe? How can they hold us? How can they imprint that information into us? Okay. So what Nigel explained is that if you're in your own understanding and your own nature as an individual, your priorities are more based on caring for other people, bringing people together. Your priorities are set that way, not in terms of the physical, not mm-hmm. in terms of the universe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then it's unlikely they will be able to do anything to you. Okay. They can't reach you because you don't even meet your emanations, your brainwaves, if you like, your whatever comes from you as an individual won't be detectable by their technology.
Hmm.
Okay. But if you're somebody who tends to be caught and more focused and stuck in the physical, okay, then they can read you. Okay. So it can be that very much like you were telling me before the show about this ghost mm-hmm. that seems to be hanging around in your basement.
Yep.
These trapped souls, if you like, that can't quite get away from the physical state and enter a less forced state, which we might call death, okay, mm-hmm. beyond atoms, okay, because they just love, they're just caught, that all their focus is in the world, okay? That can be because of some angst towards somebody that's in the world that they feel they have to sort out. It can be because they're attached to some object, to a lifestyle, a physical lifestyle that they once had. Whatever it is, their priority, their focus is in the physical. Those are the ones that they can read. Those are the souls that they can read
okay.
and attach to. So what happens is when those souls then are held and trapped, the greys can help them back into life. And when they're trapped, they wouldn't normally be able to come back into life, but they can help them come back into life in the process of forming the new body. That's when the DNA changes happen. Now, what's really interesting is if you look at our DNA, we don't use 100% of our DNA to code for proteins. Something like 95% is what they used to call junk DNA. Okay, it doesn't code for the our flesh, the parts of our body, the processes in the body.
Okay.
At one stage, they thought it had no function.
Okay.
Recently, they've been discovering that it seems to have an on and off switch function that modulates the DNA that does code for protein. Weirdly, most of that, what they used to call junk DNA, is made up of repeats, repeat codes. Okay, exactly the same thing again and again and again and again. Okay, so it was Nigel's theory that what happens, because we aren't using that DNA, okay, we're not, his idea was not evolution, but devolution, okay? We came from a better state. In the past, maybe we did use 100% of our DNA. But as time has gone on and we have stayed as physical beings, we haven't made choices to free ourselves so that we no longer need to reincarnate. We have lost that capacity, and that DNA is not anymore in our control as individuals. We only can control the 5% that makes the proteins. So if we can't control it, they can. Whatever we as beings with free will, which is a free will which exists because we come from a place that's not of this world, and so we're not totally subject to the breakdown of entropy. We can go make more order.
Okay.
In our physicalities and in our psychologies. But we're not in control of that 95%. So that's where they genetically intercept. They make almost like a clone inside us, these copies, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's their on-off switches to control our DNA. That's where they write their program as the new body is forming. So those who are susceptible to this are those who are very much invested and unable to see beyond the physical state of the physical world, and somehow can't get beyond that because they want it. Basically, they make that choice. I want to be here, like that ghost you were describing.
Right,
wants
right.
to be here.
Boy, I wonder if I should save this till after the break. So, no, you know what? I'll ask it now. So, is there a way to reverse that process, consciously or unconsciously? Can we take that back and get that switch back, so to speak?
Absolutely. So, that's a very good question. Yes, yes, there definitely is. So, we still, no matter what, no matter how, even if, so they say abduction runs in families, right? And this,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And Nigel's idea was that abductees are not people who are very badly affected by the greys and the kind of people they can catch, okay, at mm-hmm. all. It's quite the opposite. They are people who are born into lines that have been intercepted, and the greys can't understand why they break it up. Okay, they break up the circuit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, they're trying to create a network, a circuit board of their type of being, so that their information field can run freely. Okay. Uh-huh. But these are souls who come into those lines. They interrupt it. They're abducted to find out what on earth is going on. How did you get in there? And that's because they have in their soul's history and this lifetime priorities that don't fit in with the Grey's agenda, because they focus more on what lies beyond the atom than on the atom. Caring for people, bringing people together, compassion. They tend to be more like that than the kind of people who they would, and not the kind of people that the Greys would be able to attach to. So that the way to resist what the Greys are doing is simply to have a focus on what really is valuable. Value yourself, value your uniqueness as a living, intelligent being with a connection to something beyond the purely physical, and value other people for the same thing.
Okay.
Treasure people, treasure life, because it's a very precious commodity in mm-hmm. the universe. And if you do that, your focus won't be where the Greys need it. You won't be able to be caught by them. And even if you are born into a line that they have already intercepted, a biological line, because they can only intercept biological lines, they can only touch the biological, they can't touch the soul.
Okay.
You can definitely beat them. The more you focus on those priorities.
Is this why then, Danielle, and I'll ask this question, and then when we get past this, we'll go to break. Is this why, Danielle, we hear stories of like somebody in the midst of or in the middle of an alien abduction, they'll call out for Jesus Christ, or they'll call out for a religious figure, and it will repel a gray alien?
I would guess so. Yes, that would make a lot of sense. That, okay. that as soon as that mental focus is there, they literally can't, they can't do anything, because they can't tap into you anymore. You're not on their radar, so to speak. Hmm. You're outside of their spectrum of to work on.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. All right. Interesting stuff and interesting tales indeed. When we come back, I want to address with Danielle about what it would be like, and I'm sorry I'm tripping over this because I'm actually thinking of the scenario. I'm extremely claustrophobic, I'll tell you that, Danielle. What it would be like if we became full-on cyborgs? What would happen if we decided we wanted to become the ultimate human by becoming the ultimate machine? We'll put ourselves in that scenario when we come back. Again, when we come back, we'll be talking with our guest, Danielle Silverman, about what it would be like to become the ultimate human by becoming the ultimate machine. What would it be like if we stuffed ourselves full of robot? That's right, becoming a cyborg. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. The name of the book is Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence, The Battle Between Natural and Synthetic Beings for the Human Soul. The author is Nigel Kerner, also the author of Gray Aliens and Harvesting of Souls. We have a link in the description of this program right now. You can also go to that link as we're in the break, nigelkerner.com, KERNER.com. Check it out during the break. When we come back, more with Danielle Silverman right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is Danielle Silverman. She is the colleague of Nigel Kerner, who is the author of Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence, The Battle Between Natural and Synthetic Beings for the Human Soul. This book is a big one, Danielle. This is over 400 pages of a lot of information. And when I say a lot of information, it spans the gamut between gray aliens, artificial intelligence, life, death, souls. Where do we come from? What is God? What is heaven? What do we believe it is from a scientific point of view? It goes everywhere. It even gets down to government conspiracy. There's some government conspiracy in here as well. And maybe at the end of the program, I may even ask you what the Majestic 12 is. I may ask you that question. I'll hold on to that till the end, however. Let me get to what we were talking about right before the break, and that is this. I started to allude to it towards the end of the last segment, and that is the idea of, and we talked about why the aliens want our souls and why they would want these gray aliens, these roboids or robots would want our souls, and imagine piggybacking themselves on our souls. As I'm reading this book and I'm reading Nigel's words, it's hitting home with me, and I can imagine it. I'm putting myself right in that scenario. When he mentions putting your very alive soul, your awareness, being able to feel, and I can see peripheral vision as I look through my eyes and I'm looking around. I'm actually sitting out on my front porch and I'm reading this book, enjoying a beautiful windy fall day, 70 degrees outside, you know, end of October. I got a little chipmunk at my feet eating seeds. You know, it's a beautiful day. And I'm enjoying nature as beautiful as it can be. And then I'm reading these words from Nigel where he's talking about your soul being compressed into a cold calculating machine and you being compressed into a digital presence and being cut off from your humanity and not being able to process that. And why would someone want to go from being able to process all that is that's in front of them and being compressed into a digital presence where you can just process what's immediately in front of you? And he's very articulate about what would happen if you went from human to cyborg. If you would, Danielle, walk me through it a little bit. What do you think is the rationale of someone who wants to transition from human to cyborg?
I think it's a rationale of just being completely, first of all, perhaps not having experienced in their own lives, because it may be, so it's many, many young people might feel this way, okay? If the only thing they've ever experienced in their lives is a world with the internet, virtual reality, everything done digitally, perhaps to them it might be a natural progression and a really cool thing to go towards, the idea that you would be able to do in their minds, anything, because anything's possible technologically. So in virtual reality, you could do anything. Okay, so I think it's a kind of ignorance that has to be there to start with, because the more you mortgage what you are, and the more you mortgage your psychology to artificial adaptations, the more you lose your own ability to think for yourself, your own ability to think independently. So whatever is controlling and making this technology, and we've got Elon Musk's Neuralink, for example, how could we possibly think that that's going to be an altruistic thing for the benefit of humanity to free us and liberate us and give us a sense of betterment for ourselves? The people who control this technology will obviously have their own motivations, their own drive to achieve the best for themselves and for their companies. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you can see that in the ruthless way that these companies are act towards people in the world. For example, during the pandemic, because of people were restricted and had to stay at home, the home shopping, internet shopping, internet entertainment, everything virtual online. The companies that run that, the big tech companies that run that, their profits just soared. I mean, maybe a thousand times more, right? Mm-hmm. Did they translate that back to us who suffered, and companies that went bankrupt, small companies going bankrupt, people's lives ruined? Did they channel all of those profits back to us?
No.
And try to rebuild the wreckage after the pandemic? Not at all.
No.
They said, thank you very much. We're going to ride on your misfortune and we're going to make the most of it, but we're going to make you happy. It's going to be, you know, it's like a sugar-coated poison pill. Because we loved it when it happened. So whatever programs Neuralink, whatever programs these technologies to interface with us, is going to be hacking into our own nature, our own freedom, our own choice-making ability, our own awareness, and controlling that for its own purpose. Definitely, there's just no way around this. It will not be an altruistic thing to liberate us. As soon as you have some kind of artificially intelligent interface, brain-machine interface inside you, it can be hacked. And basically, the way the world is, it will be hacked.
Oh, yes.
It would be totally naive to imagine that it's being done for the betterment of humanity. There's no way any corporation has ever done that in all history. So it's just basically walking straight into a trap. And that's such an incredible, incredibly obvious psychology that the alien intelligence would be helping us, would be pushing us towards. Give us something we love, give us something we want, not something that we would want to fight, something that we will embrace. And the inspiration for all of these things is, Nigel believe, being fueled by this data, artificial intelligent data, its efforts, because it's creating a world on our planet just like the world it came from. And it's spreading that information of how to create that world into us. And that's the genetic interception is one side of it. Making our society like theirs is the other side of it.
And just following along your line of, and Nigel's line of logic here, it really is scary, because you have a legacy you leave while you're here, but then when you leave that digital imprint behind, like let's say earlier in the program, we were talking about being able to leave your voice behind for a loved one in something like, I don't want to say it because I have one on my desk here, but an Alexa, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So that, they can hear grandma's voice or read them a bedtime story or you have something where like holographic technology where you could bring up a lost loved one and you could see them whenever, or they could talk to you whenever, how that can be manipulated, you know, how we could manipulate it. We're already starting to do that with movie stars, long lost movie stars.
Sure. Deep fakes are going to be.
Right. Yeah. And deep fakes are brought up in this book as well. I'm glad you brought that up. Deep fake technology has gotten to the point now where it can be used and abused, and it is used and abused, but it can be used and abused to the point where it's criminal. And it may very well be used to a point where it's going to get a lot of people in a lot of trouble, in deep criminal trouble. It could be that when you're long gone, your identity is going to be used for nefarious reasons, and not just
absolutely
a little bit of credit card fraud. It may be used for, something huge. And there's not a thing that you can do about it. You may be long gone, but you know, your name is going to live on for nefarious reasons, whether it's by a serial killer or for somebody pulling off a huge world event. And there's nothing that you'd be able to be, you know, do about it. You're going to be long gone. But, and you may say, well, Tim, you're long gone. That's not the point. The point is what your surviving family members are going to do about it, because that's on them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And I know people say, well, you know, why are you so worried about something that's not going to, you know, that's going to happen when you're not here? It's not about, you know, whether you're not here, it's bringing you back digitally and then messing with you all over again. A lot of people don't realize that your financial stuff never goes away. I mean, that's one of the other things about the digital world too. You can accrue bills, you can accrue debt, even long after you're dead. Sure. And that can continue on in the digital age as well, long after you're gone. There's a lot of things about AI that's just plain scary that we're not taking into account. And I think we're playing around with it, thinking it's a fun toy. And then you tie it to the fact that, I mean, you tie it to the fact that now we're dealing with the fact that and reading this book by Nigel and you, you tie it into the fact that grays are robots or roboids. It's absolutely chilling. There's a section in the book here. The other thing that chilled me here, Danielle, there's a passage that Nigel writes in here, where he's talking about the actual going after souls, okay? And he draws the parallel between gray aliens and devils. Do you know the passage I'm talking about?
No, I'm not. I can imagine. Remind me of exactly which passage.
See if I can. I may not be able to pull it up right away, but was it
about the devils that have been, so the jinns spoken about in the Muslim religion, the golems spoken about in the Jewish religion, through all the religions, there's these creatures that are referred to.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
And then,
exactly.
And then you have this gray presence, this gray, but whether it be a djinn, whether it be a red-faced devil, whatever it is, they all come for the same thing, which is this one treasured piece that we have that they don't.
Yes,
and that's the human soul.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I don't think I'm wrong in saying that Nigel's quite unique in saying that this is what they're after. I don't think anybody has really come to that conclusion or looked in very deeply into the reason why they would be so interested in us. Because if it was, let's say, if they just wanted our DNA, and I think you raised that point, they could take the DNA that we have and just clone it and do whatever they want with it, with their technology. Yep. But they don't. They seem to continually be in touch with us. You know, and this has been going back. So if Aborigine caves from thousands and thousands of years ago have pictures on the wall that look exactly like groups, look like gray aliens in groups, no different. They call them the Wangina or something. So they were seen then. It goes back all the way through history. They've been following us the whole time, it seems. And so how that could be explained unless they're after something that they can't quite get a hold of.
So what did Nigel make of the alien-human hybrids then, or the somewhat sexualized experiments that are done in abductions?
Yes, so that's something that David Jacobs, the researcher, Professor David Jacobs, who did some incredible research into abductees, and he looked at all their accounts, and he was saying that he couldn't at first, he thought it was just one or two abductees who were talking about this, but he was getting it more and more and more, until hundreds of the abductees he spoke to spoke about hybrids being amongst us, and the amount of hybrids, alien human hybrids, increasing as time goes on, so that in the future we would be in a world where there would be many of them around living amongst us, and we wouldn't know the difference. Okay, so Nigel also speaks about that in his book, and so there are two kinds of hybrids. There are actual hybrids purely created by the Greys with using our DNA, but they are not a human soul coming into life interfered with by them. Okay, it's just a Grey creation, and you see these abductees have reported on spaceships that they seem to be experimenting, creating these babies that mm-hmm. are half alien, half human. Mm-hmm. So this kind of experimentation goes on, where they're trying to look into what it is that we have that they don't, and how they can somehow merge the two together. And invariably, reports from abductees say that the hybrid creations they make are very sickly. They don't seem to survive very well. And the Greys are always looking into what it is that is causing that. Okay.
Okay.
But it's also Nigel's books, he speaks about the other kind of hybrids, which is what happens when a soul that is held, trapped, restricted, unable to see beyond their own sense of themselves, unable to care, focus purely on living at the values of a physical existence, gets caught because they choose to be caught. It's not a judgment. It's all you are, you will be when you die, is Nigel's theory, wherever you choose to be. We make for ourselves whatever we will be when we die. We'll be the same person. So if our focus is on something we've been obsessed with in this life, and it's predominantly that, we'll be stuck here. If our focus has been on values that point to an existence beyond the physical, then we'll go there. It's just wherever you are, you will be. So those souls who are stuck, and who have restricted and have chosen the physical and are focused obsessively on something in this world, they can hybridize. And hybridization means simply interfering with the formation of their body as the new body forms with their technology.
So I guess I'm a little confused here, Danielle. Help me out here. A woman who is impregnated by an alien is having what? Or impregnated by... Is there a woman that's impregnated by a Grey, or is she impregnated by another type of alien?
No, so there's two processes going on here. As far as I know, the women who are have abduction experiences mm-hmm. and have some kind of impregnation on the ship, yep. and they do all these kinds of experiments. Those, as far as I know, the baby is not born in the world. It's taken on the ship. There's no pregnancy that happens in that circumstance that they can somehow interfere with, because they can't bring about. Because they have no connection to the state beyond atoms, what we might call the world of death, and Nigel said that this is in the space between atoms.
Okay.
Okay, but that's a whole other story, and you'd have to see in the book how he describes that.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have no connection to the space between atoms, to that less enforced realm, because they're purely physical, okay? So they cannot bring a soul into life. They don't have the connection to be able to do it. They have no It's just not there. But what they can do is they could, once the soul is forming a new body, if there's that body, and if the line is already a genetically intercepted line, and this is why it runs in families, okay, that they've intercepted in the past, they then, when the in the process of the child being formed, then they can use their technology to genetically intercept that growing child, and that would result in a hybrid type being. And a hybrid is simply a soul that would not have naturally, would have been caught, trapped, wouldn't naturally have been able to reincarnate because it's too trapped, okay? And they are using their force, their technology, to push that soul into atoms to help it form a life. The procedure by which that happens, it's too involved. You'd have to read the book to find out exactly how that happens.
Okay, but it's there.
But that was, that was his idea.
Okay.
What goes on in the ships and the reports from abductees, that's not the same process. That's their experimentation with trying to figure out why it is that some individuals interrupt their genetically intercepted lines.
Okay, interesting. Interesting indeed. So there's no true. I'm not trying to belabor the point here, but there's no true copulation like there is between a man and a woman here on Earth. It's a more clinical process than what we're thinking.
So it's not literally. They are machines. Okay. They don't have genetic material.
Okay.
They're not. It's not. They don't literally have sex with a woman and impregnate her. It's not possible. Okay. But they interfere with our natural processes for this to happen. They take our sperm, our ova, and they on the ships, and they're looking at what happens in combination. They try to interfere with it. They try to do experiments to see what's going on.
Okay, so there's no, but there's no alien seed that mixes with a
no, impossible. So they're not biological.
Okay,
they don't have that. They're bio machines, but they can't propagate.
Right, but
the whole point is propagation and life can only happen when you have that connection back. That's the that's how life happens.
Right, but I'm saying obviously this robot race had to be built by something. So they're not taking the seed from the original race.
I see what you mean.
Right.
Okay. So you're saying the DNA that they took from their original, possible. It's possible that they have some kind of data formatted code of whatever their original beings were, and that they are trying to adjust our DNA to fit that pattern so that in that way their original beings can live on through us. Right. Very possible.
Right. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Is that
very possible?
Is that
very
what's
possible.
Happening there?
In data format. Yeah. In some kind of data format,
okay.
But not in physical living terms. Yes.
Okay. Because I've always wondered why, what goes on with that pregnancy and why a woman could carry an alien human hybrid to term, like a baby to term, and why it could be a successful carry to term, and why a human female wouldn't reject that baby because
I think that is what happens. So the babies disappear. There's this missing fetus syndrome. So when abductees report being impregnated, mm-hmm. and they have pregnancy tests, and then suddenly the child is gone. It's not as far as I know, and I may be wrong. I haven't heard of this coming to term of a pregnancy coming to term that's happened through an abduction episode. This is an experimentation thing that doesn't result in actual birth.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in the book, and this is kind of irony central here, to be honest with you, Danielle. It's called The Carousel of Life and Death. And it's basically what Nigel believed happened when we die. And it states, and I guess this is kind of where we'll leave today's show, because I think we've done a pretty good job of going over what the connection between Grays and AI and whatnot. And well, you know what? I'll ask you this question before we get to the connection between the carousel of life and death. Let me ask you this. There's a reference to in the very beginning of the book. And I'll leave this very vague for you. I know we don't want to get too deep into this, Danielle, but Nigel suggests that our government has been working for quite some time with these grays, that there is a connection in here, and that they're allowed to pretty much have free reign over whatever it is that they want to do, and that this has pretty much been happening, if not since Roswell, maybe even before, or right around that area. And that maybe even the Truman administration, I think is what he said in the book, 1947 or so. Mm-hmm. And he mentions the Majestic 12, but he says nobody knows who's in the Majestic 12. It's a good way of putting this. I love conspiracy theories. I'll tell you that. I do a conspiracy theory talk when I'm out on the road. This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like a Majestic 12 or anything like that, that has been in the background or any such theory. So it's new to my ears and new to my eyes. Can you explain to people what the Majestic 12 is and what the concept of the Majestic 12 is?
Well, what Nigel said is that in the background, there are, even whether they consciously know about it or not, there are people in governmental positions who are either possibly in some cases directly working with the Greys. And if you talk to, if you listen to Bob Lazar, you know Bob Lazar?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and obviously to anyone, I would say, with any sense of what's real and what's genuine and what's not, okay, he is completely on the level, okay? So mm-hmm. he has given direct reports of this kind of underlying conspiracy going on to hide what's going on in terms of cooperation between some elements of governments around the world and these gray alien entities. Okay. And his, as we know, everything about him was, and his actual employment where he said he was working was wiped, but it was later shown to be the case that this had happened. Okay.
Okay.
So there's absolutely no doubt that there has been some kind of cooperation going on in the background between whatever has, and the Roswell case, an accidental landing. Maybe there have been accidental occurrences where these craft have crashed, and that has resulted in communication between the Greys and the military. So the Roswell account situation is an example of that. Bob Lazar has reported back engineering of spacecraft and so on. The interesting thing is now, and I can just read about it here. So now they've actually, the US Congress in July this year approved a draft bill with the clear implication that the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence is convinced that some UFOs have non-human origins. Okay. Mm-hmm. So last year, Trump's Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, had already said UFOs exhibit technologies that we don't have, and we are not capable of defending against. Look, the bottom line is unidentified aerial phenomenon. Many, many cases we're able to explain it away for reasons like visual disturbances or weather phenomenon or foreign adversaries and their technologies, or even our own experimental technologies with certain aircraft and vehicles. But there are a number of instances where we've ruled all that out. And that's the Director of National Intelligence saying that.
So
this new bill, I just quickly.
No, go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. It says that sightings of craft that come out of water into the air and may form threats to the United States national security are expanding exponentially. That's from the bill. Mm-hmm. And this newly set up office is asked to focus only on objects that are not man-made. So if they're asked to focus on only on objects that are not man-made, they're accepting there are objects that are not man-made, especially set up for that. This is a government committee. Question, going back to your question, mm-hmm. why was it covered up so vehemently in the past, mm-hmm. and why is it being revealed now?
And that's just what I'm about to ask you. Yeah. What is with, in your opinion, why, if they're working so tightly with the Greys, why do you think they're doing this soft disclosure now? Why do you think they're coming out and saying, we have no idea what it is? What do you guys think of it?
Yeah, I would love to be able to ask Nigel that question. And he did sort of, so I didn't fully understand it myself. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to ask him. But going on what he said and going on my own understanding of putting together his ideas about all of this, there's a timing. There's a timing for this. Then was not the timing to reveal it. It wouldn't have worked for whatever they're trying to do with us. We're coming to a point where our technology is matching theirs and reflecting theirs hugely, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe we are reaching a meeting point when they will actually make themselves apparent in the future. And Nigel did say that there will come a time when they will do that.
Okay.
So it is possible that it's all about timing. Yeah.
Do you think maybe it's happening a little too quickly because the Navy came out within the last month or two as things are rolling out with the soft disclosure, and the Navy was the one that released the four major videos in that soft disclosure. And they said, no more videos. they came out and said, no more. And they cited national security. Now, they could have cited national security for a couple different things. One, there's some aircraft maybe in some of these videos that they don't want people to know about because it is a little too new. Or two, there might be some other things in those videos that they're about to release that might be showing a little too much.
Yeah, sure. Very possible. I cannot begin to speculate on exactly what is going on in the background here. I can't know. It wouldn't be right to put forward a definite theory. I can't know what's going on.
Sure.
But all I can say is timing has to have something to do with it.
Oh,
because definitely things have changed.
Yeah.
Where all of that's concerned.
Yeah.
And if people are going to see these totally reliable government agents, in their minds, government agencies who wouldn't talk about anything like this if they didn't, if it wasn't something that they believed was actually true, because mm-hmm. they'd be risking being laughed at and not being taken seriously, mm-hmm. then if they're going to come out and say it's true, then obviously, there's some kind of timing going on here that, okay, we're going to reveal ourselves now. This is the point at which we actually let them know what we're doing.
Right, right. And last point that I wanted to get to today. Nigel writes in chapter 14, The Carousel of Life and Death, he starts to talk about, he talks a little bit about NDEs, near-death experiences. He talks a little bit about what he believes kind of happens in that realm that some people would call a quantum realm. Some people would call heaven. Some people would call other side, the other side. This is the question I would ask you, Danielle. We know what, and we'll leave that section for people to read in the book, but I would like you to play a little game of what if with me, a little bit of speculation, if you would.
Sure.
When Nigel passed, what do you think he found when he passed on in that realm? What do you think he found?
Well, throughout his life, Nigel wasn't just an author. He was also the most incredible human being in terms of what he did for people. He had a charity project helping people in Asia, doing eye surgery, cataract surgery for people who couldn't afford it. And all kinds of other charity projects as well. And basically everyone he met, there were just so many instances where he would connect so powerfully with people, even if he met them for the first time, just once. He seemed to have a way of connecting, and it was incredible. He made suggestions to people of things that they could do with their lives. They took him up on it, and it was just magnificent what happened afterwards. Just okay. I think one example is somebody I know. He said, "Well, I think you'd be a great teacher. I think you should go and do an English course, teach English as a foreign language. And why don't you try and start a school?" He did, transformed his life. You know, and there's so wow. many occurrences like that. He was just the most amazing human being. So I would imagine that where he went when he died was a place of a state, I wouldn't say a place, equivalent to that type of giving, loving psychology that he was, which would be what he calls the Godverse, something like that, a state of beauty. Excellent. Because he was beautiful.
Excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah.
I truly hope that that he found that place as well. You know, in getting to read this book, this wonderful book, it was excellent in getting to know him as well. So many different theories and different thoughts, and some that will absolutely chill you to your bone, and others that are absolutely wonderful to read about. You know, and I will tell people what's wonderful about reading these different thoughts from Nigel is that they're not. You're not going to get beat over the head with a dogma or any theological sense of any kind. He does tackle it from a scientific view. He will, but he does tackle different religions very briefly. But he does, as you put it, Danielle, he does tell you that there is one source or a Godverse, as he puts it, and he puts it all in perspective for you. And he ties some things very nicely together. There is one part in the book where he talks briefly about how, and it's factual, folks. I'm not gonna lie to you. He talks about how reincarnation was thrown out of Catholicism or out of Christianity. You know, and he cites exactly where it was thrown out. You know, so you know, and tells you why why reincarnation really is a staple in every single religion, and why it shouldn't be cast aside by any religion, and why it really is, why it really should be considered a staple, no matter what you believe in, and why it does fit in this model. I really do encourage you to pick up the book. The book is called Gray Aliens and Artificial Intelligence, The Battle Between Natural and Synthetic Beings for the Human Soul. And again, we have a link in the description of this program. The link is nigelkerner.com, K-E-R-N-E-R. Danielle, any last thoughts before we leave people today?
Just to say thanks so much for having me on the show. It's been an absolute delight talking with you. I love your humanity. I don't think you'll be somebody who they would get.
Oh, I appreciate
the kind
that.
Of humanity you have.
I don't want to get God.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah,
I don't want to get God. No. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been a wonderful experience. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I appreciate having you on. Danielle Sullivan, the colleague of Nigel Kerner, was also instrumental in getting this book to press and getting the information together along with Nigel. So I want to thank you, Danielle, for getting this book to press. So,
my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you. Folks, want to just a reminder as you head out this weekend to get things done and get things taken care of as we get closer to the Thanksgiving season. I want to remind you to take care of yourself and take care of each other. Do something beneficial for someone else this weekend as you're out and about. We're getting colder out there in the world. The temperature is dropping. People need coats. They need blankets. They need warm stuff. Find a local charity. Donate to a local charity this weekend. Make sure somebody has something warm. People are also going to need food in their bellies. So find a food shelf near you. Drop off a care package for someone in need this weekend. Just do something to leave the world a little bit better than you found it this weekend. Do it for your buddies right here at Darkness Radio. For Beer City Bruiser, for Jessica Freeberg, for Mally Fox, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for joining us this week. A great week here at Darkness Radio. We'll see you again next week for the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.